you can be seated this morning. So what a great day. Welcome to Bethel, man. We're excited that you come to worship with us. How many of you love coming to church on Sunday morning? Can I hear a good amen? Yeah, it's always good. It's always cool. So I'll just tell you right quick, right off the bat, that we are, can you believe this? 5 weeks out from our Christmas service. Yeah, like Christmas. Woo, what a challenge. What a great day, but what a challenge. Come on, y'all. But here's the good news about Christmas. They tell us we're going to be in our new building for our Christmas service on December the 22nd. So, yeah, we're excited about that. We're excited about worshiping over there. And so today we actually have 3 more weeks left in our fall series, which we've entitled The Bethel Orchard, how we have talked about and tried to learn and grow in the fact that you and I are called to be fruit producers for God, that it doesn't just glorify God when we come to church on Sunday. It glorifies God by the fruit that we produce in our life. And I don't know about you, but I've been challenged, and I need to produce fruit in every area of my life, not just on Sunday. Come on, y'all. But I need to produce fruit in my marriage on Monday. Can I get a witness? And on Thursday, when my kids are driving me nuts, I need to produce fruit in my way I'm parenting. And in my career and where I'm working, God has called me to produce fruit. Everybody shout, fruit. So today, we're going to actually talk about how the ultimate way for you and I to produce fruit. Let's be honest. Can we be real at 9:30 service? Can we be real today? Like, I can produce a little fruit on my own. You can produce a little. like you can produce a little fruit on your own. Like, we got personalities, and, you know, like, I got a few giftings, and I can do this, and I can make people laugh, and I can encourage people. But if really, if we're going to produce fruit that glorifies God, it has to be beyond our talents, beyond our swag, beyond our education. It has to be a spiritual thing so that we can produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because we want God to shine through our lives and produce fruit everywhere we go. So today, the ultimate way for you and I to produce fruit, it's called the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to go back, basic theology, basic doctrine today. We're going to answer a couple of questions. What spirit is this that we're talking about? What spirit is it that produces fruit? And what kind of fruit should you and I be producing? First and foremost, I want to say to you today, we are not just talking about any spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. We're going to talk about that Spirit. And my prayer is that you and I would learn today through the teachings and through the Scripture that the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, it lives inside of me and you. Sneed, it lives inside of you. John Dick, it lives inside of you. Brandon Horn, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. Stacia, it lives inside of you. The Spirit of God lives inside of you and me. Nobody taught me that. Nobody told me that. I went to church my whole growing up years, and nobody ever told me that the power and the dynamite power of the Spirit of God lived inside of me. And if I'm real honest with you, I wanted to do right. I wanted to serve God. I wanted to make good choices. And I tried very hard on my own and everything that was within my own spirit. And I failed a lot of years. But when I understood the power of the Holy Spirit, and when I understood that it wasn't my spirit, and it wasn't my swag, and it wasn't my talent, when I understood that God really lived inside of me, and that I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it was a game changer in my life. So I will tell you today, this message is very near and dear to my heart, because this message of the Holy Spirit changed my life forever. It changed my life forever. It's the Spirit of the living God. In order for us to understand the Spirit of God, we have to understand this first, that our God is a Trinitarian God. He's a triune God. It's God the Father, it's God the Son, and it's God the Holy Spirit. They're all wrapped up in one. They're all one. They're all the same God, but they have different functions and different forms that they take on. Paul, the great apostle Paul, explains it very well in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 14. Paul says this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Paul says the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So let me just break that down. How many of you are thankful for the love of God today? Like God loves you. Like look at your neighbor right quick and say, I don't understand why, but God loves you. Like, I don't understand why, but God loves you. See, we got to be thankful for the love of God. Because God loves us, because we're created in the image of God. And before we were in our mother's womb, God knew us and God formed us and God loves us. Are we screwed up? Yes. Can I hear a good amen? Have we made some mistakes? Yes, but God loves us in spite of our mistakes, in spite of our faults. God loves us right where we are, but God loves us enough not to leave us where we are. God loves us. God loves you and me. Can I just tell you, that changed my life when I understood God loved me. Because there was a time in my life when my own mama didn't even love me. I was so messed up and so screwed up and so full of guilt and condemnation and unworthiness. And then I realized the love of God, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It rocked my world. So the love of God and then the grace of Jesus Christ. How many thank God for the grace of Christ? Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Today we are saved. Today we are born again. Today we are forgiven and we're new creations in Christ Jesus. If we have invited Christ into our heart and made him Lord of our life, and can I tell you, none of us deserve that. It was a free gift because of the love of God. It motivated God to send his only begotten son to come and live on this earth, to take upon flesh, to walk up Calvary Hill, to die on a cross, to pay the penalty for my sin and for your sin. The love of God forced Jesus to come and give us grace today. The love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and then this, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Fellowship, hanging out together. How many had some fellowship with your friends this week? Come on, y'all. How many had some fellowship with coworkers? How many of you had fellowship with your spouse or fellowship with your children? See, you and I have fellowship with the Spirit of God. That means he walks with us daily and he talks with us daily. The Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I got to explain this to you because nobody did it to me. Jesus came and took upon flesh. He lived a sinless life for 3 years. They falsely accused him, they abused him, they arrested him, they beat him, they martyred him, they nailed him to an old rugged cross, and Jesus died on that cross. He gave up the ghost. When he was dead, they took him off the cross and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, at the appointed place and the appointed time, the Spirit of God went and raised Jesus from the dead. The stone rolled away. Jesus came out alive forevermore as the Savior of the world. And Jesus said these words to his followers in Luke 24:49. He was raised from the dead. He was about to ascend back to heaven where he came from. And these are the final words recorded in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus said to his followers. And behold, Wesley, and behold, Marley, I'm going to send the promise of the Father upon you. Ryan, I'm going to send the promise of the Father, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to send the Spirit of God back down for you to have fellowship with, to walk with you and talk with you every day. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you without help. Jesus even went as far to say this, it's better that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. Why would it be better for Jesus to go away? Let me explain to you. It was better that Jesus went away because Jesus was God made flesh. Jesus lived in the flesh. And Jesus, the flesh confines us to one place at one time. I know, Horn, you'd like to be over there clipping on and washing on and blowing some steers out right now. But you can't be at the steer barn and you be at church at the same time. I'd like to be preaching to them over there at Albany because I'm a better preacher than Luke. Come on, somebody. But I can't. Jesus was confined to the flesh. Let me give you an example. You remember Jesus had a friend named Lazarus? And one time Jesus was off on a mission. He was preaching the gospel and his friend Lazarus got sick and died. 4 days later, Jesus showed up in the flesh, and Lazarus' sister said, if you would have only been here, my brother would have never died. But Jesus was confined to the flesh. Jesus said, it's a good thing that I go away, because if I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can be with Lazarus, and the Holy Spirit can be at my house, and the Holy Spirit can be at Anson, and the Holy Spirit can be at Albany. The Spirit is not confined to flesh. The power of the Spirit can be everywhere all the time doing what God's will is. Jesus said, it's a good thing. Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper. How many need help? Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor right quick and say, neighbor, you need some help. John 14, verse 16 through 17. Jesus said, I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. He will be with you forever. It will be the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him. But you know him, for he dwells inside of you. We need a helper. Like Tubby tells me she's my helper. How many of y'all got one of them helpers at home? Come on, somebody. Now, my wife, she will line me out. At the moment I get angry, get mad, use the wrong tone, Tubby will line me out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I say to her, I don't need a mother. I have got a mother. I need a wife. And she says to me, well, I am your helper, and God has sent me along to help you out and to make you... Now, when I turn that around and tell her I'm her helper, it never works nearly as good, just saying. She's my helper. She is my helper. She's my helper. She makes me better. I got kids. I got 3 kids, man. My kids are so great. They're so good. They want to help me do anything and everything that I can. And I'm thankful for Cole and Connor and those helpers and Bailey. I'm thankful for those people. But more than the people in my life that can help me, the Spirit of the living God is my helper. The Spirit of God is your helper. Do you realize that the Spirit of God has been where I've never been? Do you realize the Spirit of God has been where you've never been? Do you realize the Spirit of God has been in the throne room of heaven with God the Father, who spoke everything into existence, with God the Father, who parted the waters, with God the Father, who the Spirit of God has been in the presence of God the Father. God the Father tells the Spirit, well, you and I need help. The Spirit comes down and helps us in our daily life. Gosh almighty! That's our helper, y'all. We got to learn to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I know you're saved, but we got to quit trying to live our life on our own. We got to quit trying to do it on our own talents and swag and all that stuff. The Spirit lives inside of us. Let me give you a scripture so that you know this, because some of you will go, you know what? The Spirit just don't live inside of me. And I would say that's the devil lying to you, because the Spirit of God lives inside of all of the blood-bought children of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells inside of you? Can I just say this right quick? And I did it for years because I grew up in the Baptist church and they didn't teach me the whole truth. Come on, somebody. I think, well, boy, I got to go to church on Sunday. Boy, my week has sucked and I've messed it up and I've screwed it up. I got to go to church on Sunday because I got to get in the presence of God and I got to have the Spirit of God. Can I tell you, the Bible says that the Spirit of God does not live in houses made by human hands, but the Spirit of God lives inside of me and of you. And there is something about coming together with the body of Christ and like believers and worshiping where the Spirit of God moves. But if I need help, and if you need help throughout the week, whether it's your home or it's on the ranch or it's in the corporate world, the Spirit of God lives inside of you and me. And we've got to start tapping into that power. We got to start tapping into that power. Not tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit, it's like going down and buying a chainsaw and not putting any gas inside of it and trying to cut down a tree. Not tapping into the Spirit and the power of God, it's like buying a new refrigerator, not plugging it into the power source and expecting to keep your milk cold. Come on, somebody. We have to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. We got to trust the Spirit. Am I inadequate? 100%. Am I a big dummy? Biggest part of the time? Yes. Do I make some mistakes? Yes. Can I preach? No, not within myself. But baby, let me plug into the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'll go in the phone booth, Cody Cochran, but I'll come out the Holy Ghost kid, and I'll preach the paint off the walls, and I'll preach the devil back into hell. You got to trust the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life, because if the Spirit lives inside of us, our heart begins to flow over. Let me read you some more scripture. John 7, verse 37 through 39. Jesus said, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this Jesus said about the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. If the Spirit lives in us, out of our heart will flow rivers of living water. Can I say this with a prophetic voice? We're finna get some water from heaven today. Come on, somebody. We're gonna get some rain. The wheat's gonna grow. We're gonna have a good wheat crop, turn a lot of cattle out. Come on, somebody. Water changes. I mean, will you agree with me? Water changes things. Water changes things. Water. When water is coming, when water comes, it brings life, it brings growth, it brings health. Water changes things. And if the Spirit of God lives inside of you and I, out of our heart will flow rivers of living water, and every place we go will be changed by the Spirit of God, which means we'll produce much more fruit. How? Okay, Cody. Cody, I'm good. Cody, I got it. Cody, I want to produce fruit. Cody, I want to have the fruit of the Spirit. How do I produce the fruit of the Spirit? Let me read you what the Word of God says. We produce, look at me, look before I go to the Word of God. You and I will produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life in every area when we change our mind and focus on the things of the Spirit and not the things of the flesh. We are so messed up. How many of you? Nobody say amen. How many of you came in here this morning to church and you had your mind focused on things of the flesh and things of this world? On your anger, on your emotions, on what didn't go right, on the economy, on this, on the wheat crop, on the cattle. We get so focused. And God says, if you really want to produce the fruit of the Spirit, you have to renew your mind, focus on the things of the Spirit and not on the things of the flesh. Because can I tell you something? The things that we see in this world are temporary, but the things that we cannot see are eternal. And we have to quit building our life and our emotions and everything on the things that are temporary and build our life on the things that are eternal. Romans chapter 8 verse 5 through 9. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh. Think about the things of this earth. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to set your mind on the flesh and the things of this world is death, but to set your mind on the Spirit brings life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells inside of you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. You want things to change in your life? You want to produce more fruit? Get your mind and your thoughts off of the things of the flesh. Focus on the things of the Spirit. Focus on the things of the Spirit. Focus on God. Focus on God's plans. Focus. Because the Spirit lives inside of us. We start focusing on the things of the Spirit. And then you know what happens? The Spirit of God's personality comes out in our life. How many know the Spirit of God should be shining through in our lives? More than Cody's swag, more than Cody's BS, more than Cody. The Spirit of God should shine through me, and it should shine through you. Have you seen my daughter, Clara? You know what her major goal in life is? To be just like her daddy. Bless her heart. Tell me about it. When they say to her, you look like your mom, she's like, I do not. I look like my daddy. She wants to be like her daddy. And if you can see her, she is a smack-talking little knucklehead, boy. She talks about, she rides Cole like a Shetland pony. Cole cannot even hang with Clara. She talks smack. She tries to act like me because she has set her mind on her father. My personality comes out in her life. Now, on the other hand, bless her heart, Cole's a good dude. Cole and me have this cool relationship. It's this spiritual father, spiritual son. And Cole looks to me to teach him, to help him, and to lead him along the way. And so sometimes my personality comes out in Cole and in the things he said. For him, that's an upgrade. I'm just saying. And it's okay for us to look to others and to be like others as long as God is the number one thing in our life and as long as the Spirit of God's personality comes out in us before everything else. How many believe our world would be changed, our marriages would be changed, our parenting would be changed, our jobs would be changed if the personality of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit was evident in our life all the times? We set our minds. We got to change our minds. We got to renew our minds. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's where our faith turns into action. It's when the way that we live our life testifies to the goodness of God. It's when we produce fruit that glorifies God. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit today, a moment, about the fruit of the Spirit. We're just going to read the scripture. What kind of fruit you and I should be producing. If the Spirit really lives in us, and if our minds are set on the Spirit, what kind of fruit should be produced? We're going to spend the next 3 weeks talking about them in detail, but today we're going to just mention them. Galatians 5. I want you to write this scripture down because I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to give you homework. I'm going to challenge you between this Sunday and next Sunday to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 23. I want you to read it tonight. I want you to read it in the morning. I want you to pray. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, convict you, grow you, all of us. Galatians 5, 16, verse 23. Paul says this, but I say to you, walk in the Spirit. Not walk in your flesh, not walk in anger. Not walk in hatred, not walk in bitterness, not walk in self-pity, not walk in feeling sorry for yourself, not walk in a victim mentality. Paul says, I want you to walk in the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit. And when you do that, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. Can I just say this? Look at me right quick. Look. We all struggle with the desires of our flesh. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you're a member of the Church of Christ Church and you can pray in tongues, and I don't care how many scriptures you can quote. We all live in a fallen world, and we all live in our flesh, and we all struggle with the desires of the flesh. That's why Paul says you got to walk in the Spirit. For the desires of the flesh, they're totally against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit, they're against this flesh. See, it's this battle. For these are opposed to each other, and they're trying to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let's talk about something. Being led by the Spirit. It makes me think of leading a horse, leading an old colt. You can lead a horse. You get them gentle. You get them broke. Horses don't trust you. Horses want to kick you. Horses want to bite you. They want to paw you. They're bronky. They're not your friend, but you love them. You love them, and you show them some grace, and then you get them halter broke, and you can lead them. Can I tell you what the problem with some of us are? We are unwilling to be led by the Spirit of God. We just want to be led by our flesh. The Spirit of God is pulling you to lead us into green pastures and to lead us beside still waters. And some of us are sitting back, slinging our head, pawing and fighting, and we're unwilling to be led by the Spirit of God. Because by God, this is who I am. This is the way I live life. This is the way my daddy did it. This is what my image says I have to do. We are unwilling to be led by the Spirit. And at some point, we have to submit, trust the Spirit, and allow him to lead us to greater places. Woo-hoo-hoo. I'm stepping on your toes. Stepping on my toes. Galatians 5:19. For the works of the flesh. Can I tell you, I know what you struggle with in here today. You know why I know what you struggle with? Because I struggle with the same thing. And I'm fixing to read it to you. Now, the works of the flesh, the things we struggle with, are this sexual immorality. Our world is sex-driven right now. I've told you this before, but statistics say 7 out of 10 men that attend church on a regular basis have watched porn in the last week. Sexual immorality is everywhere. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry. We idolize things above God. Sorcery, enmity, strife. We're jealous of other people. We have these fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies. And things like these, I warn you, Paul says, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. If you and I will set our mind on spiritual things, if you and I will set our minds, verse 22 says, we'll produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit. We got to be led by the Spirit. Worship team, come help me close, because here's what I want you to do. I told you you had homework. I seriously want you to take your scripture, write it down in your notebook, highlight it in your Bible. Let's study. Because if you're like me and if we read the works of the flesh, you're going to be convicted just like I'm convicted, because I struggle with some of those things. And conviction is a good thing, because conviction moves us away from the flesh and towards the Spirit. Read this scripture, read these verses, pray them over you, meditate on them. Because look at me, look. How many agree with this? Where your mind goes, everything else follows. Set your mind on the Spirit. You set your mind. Maybe you come in here today and you just, by God, you mad today when you come in here. Because your spouse back didn't do what you wanted them. You know what I'm talking about, anybody? Well, you set your mind on that flesh and being angry and being ticked and being pissed off all you want. And you know what? It's going to take you right down the road to the works of the flesh. And it's not going to glorify God. And it's not going to bring any healing to your life. Oh, you come in here a victim. You've been mistreated. You've been mishandled. Somebody didn't do you right. You set your mind on all these things, on your emotions, on your hormones, on your past. We can set our mind on the economy. We can set our mind on everything around here. But to have your mind set on the things of the flesh, the scripture says, leads to death. But if we will renew our mind and set our things on the mind of the Spirit, you know what? God, love. I'm just going to love. God, I'm going to love. God, I'm going to love. God, I'm going to love when I don't want to love. God, I choose joy. I don't feel joy today. I feel it, but God, it's not about my feelings. I choose joy. I'm going to live in the peace. You start focusing, and I start focusing on the things of the Spirit, it will bring life to every situation. Out of our heart will flow rivers of living water. Not only will we be alive and grow, but everyone around us will be watered and begin to grow as well. Where your mind goes, everything else follows. Here's the bottom line today. God is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is on the throne. Jesus is at his right hand. And the only form of our God that walks with us daily is the Spirit of God. We have to tap into that. We have to have fellowship with him. We have to walk knowing the Spirit of God lives inside of us. And if we're going to really produce real fruit, we have to depend on the Spirit and not on ourselves. To walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, and to set our minds. When we produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it glorifies God. Listen to me, I'm done. It's my last statement. I'm going to pray. When you and I are washed in the blood, when you and I are filled with the Spirit, when you and I set our mind on spiritual things and we produce fruit that glorifies God, can I tell you what God does? God smiles at you and I, and God begins to move on our behalf because we're living on his behalf. The miraculous takes place. The supernatural takes place. I want to pray for you, and then we're going to be done. We're going to close with worship. So if you would, just where you are, bow your heads. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for life. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for our many, many blessings. Today, God, we live in a fallen world and we live in this flesh, but God, I pray that you would give each one of us the power and the self-control right now to renew our minds and to get our minds off of the things of this world, to get our minds off of the things of this flesh, to get our mind focused back on you. And as we lift up our eyes unto the hills, unto where our help comes from, as we get our eyes fixed and focused on you, as we begin to live in the Spirit, Lord, and we begin to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, let us be overcomers. Let us be victors and not victims, God. Let us be the head and not the tail. Let us be the top and not the bottom. Let our mentality change. And we ask you, God, that the Holy Spirit's personality would be evident in our lives. Lord, we want to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, long-suffering. We want to for people to see you inside of us. And so today, as we fall off into this study, Lord, I pray you begin to move on our hearts. You begin to move on our minds. Give us the courage to open up the word and to pray and to read and to study the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. Lord, let us be convicted where we're full of anger. Let us be convicted where we're full of jealousy. Let us be convicted with sexual immorality. Let us be convicted and let us move closer to the cross and let us live a life of repentance and let the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, begin to be evident in our lives. Speak to us, Lord. We want to be all we can be for you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. Move in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, stand up.